This is a verse from the book of Revelation. The one having an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches and to the one who overcomes. The reason I have this particular part of this verse is every single church in the book of Revelation was heard the Lord speak this to them. There's seven churches, and seven times it says, the one having ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the... And you notice it's churches. It's plural. It is the Holy Spirit who speaks to the church. And believe me, anything the Holy Spirit speaks to one church, we should listen to. So for us, we need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to each of those churches. And to each one, it says this, to the one who overcomes. And then there's a promise. You know, all the promises of God are to the overcomers. To those who overcome. They are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. This is correct. But they are only true to the overcomers. He who overcomes will inherit all of this. So we want to talk about hearing what the Spirit is saying to the churches. 1 John chapter 2. And why is this so important? Little children, it is the last hour. So this was back when this was written. Are we in the last days? According to John, we're in the last hour. And we have been for a while. And what does he mean by that? Okay, if you have 9 out of 10 things that were spoken already accomplished, you only have the last thing to remains. So if you think in sequence, we are in the very last of the stage of what God has revealed would happen before our Lord's return. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. Yes. By which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us. So where did these antichrists come from? If they went out from us, where were they? They were in the church. These were among the church. They went out from us. These antichrists did. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They were with the church. At one point, it's interesting that someone could be antichrist and actually in the church. Don't put that past our enemy. Very clever. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. And then it says this, and you have an anointing from the Holy One. You as the believer, all of the believers here, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. I want you to think about that phrase. What would John mean by that? What did you hear in the beginning? What do you think you've heard in the very beginning? If you've heard the gospel, wouldn't it be that you heard the truth? In the very beginning, you heard the true word of God. Paul tells of the Ephesians that you heard the word of the truth of the gospel. And you need to be careful because evidently what you have heard in the beginning may not be what you're hearing as time progresses. And how will you know? You know, how will you know if you're not paying very careful attention? You need to let abide in you what you've heard from the beginning. And if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. And these things I have written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. Are y'all aware of what anointing he's referring to? What anointing abides in the believer?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit abides in each believer, and that's why it says you do not need that anyone teach you, because that anointing, the Holy Spirit, is sent from God to teach the believer. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Now, in this passage, we've seen that the danger is that there are many antichrist that were amongst the people of God at one point, but did not remain to be shown that they were not really of God's people. But they're going out, and evidently, one way of opposing Christ, of being antichrist, is changing the message that was originally heard in the beginning, affecting the truth, bringing confusion about what is true. And this is why John says, but you have an anointing, and this anointing teaches you concerning all things. And look at what's beautiful about this anointing. This anointing, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is true. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide us into all truth. So the Holy Spirit sent from God, the anointing that the believer has, is true and teaches truth and leads us into all truth. And there's no lie in the Spirit of God. And so just as it has taught us, just as the Holy Spirit has taught us, we must continue to abide in the Spirit and in the Lord. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, and this is the Lord Jesus, abide. We need to abide in Christ, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And then He adds this, and I love the fact that He adds this. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. There is so much teaching today about positional righteousness, that you are righteous by virtue that God looks at you as righteous. He sees the righteousness of Christ in us. Well, there's a truth in that. We are given the atonement of Christ. We are forgiven of our sins through the faith in the blood of Christ. And we are reconciled to God through His Son. We do have access to the Father through the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the grace, the access, the reconciliation, the redemption, and the mercy we have received, if it is genuine, should manifest itself in those who actually do righteousness. They practice righteousness. That's the genuine evidence that you have really come to know the Lord Jesus, that you are practicing righteousness. Righteousness, not just claiming a positional righteousness, but you walk in actual righteousness.
Brother.
Yes, sir.
Could you please amplify a little bit what is meant by righteousness?
Righteousness is actually doing what is right towards your neighbor, towards other people in your life. Doing what is right in the eyes of God. Some people call it right useness. You use what God has created in the right way. You do what is right on the job. You do what is right in your home. You're able to do what is right because the power of God and the Spirit of God and the grace of God is teaching us and enabling us to do this. And it's interesting that Paul says this. I'm going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul brings in this, that deception is an unrighteous deception. If we really know the Lord Jesus Christ, that His grace in us, His Spirit in us will enable us to walk in righteousness. And look at how Paul characterizes deception. He calls it the deception of unrighteousness. The coming of the lawless one, which is, this is what we're concerned about. The many antichrists have already gone into the world, and there's coming a great antichrist at some point. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. I want you to link those two things. Because they did not receive the love of the truth, you know what they swallowed? Unrighteous deception. Yes. Unrighteous deception was often used in the Old Testament, in the Septuagint, to describe the ministry of false prophets. The Lord said to them, "You have persuaded the people to trust in unrighteousness." And the danger of many people being deceived in the last days is they never received the love of the truth. And because they don't really love the truth, Satan is able to deceive them by unrighteous things, things that God is displeased with and that he has clearly said we should not walk in. But they, because they did not love the truth, they left themselves vulnerable to being deceived by these unrighteous deceptions. And it goes on to say, because they did not receive the love of the truth, for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion. Now, what kind of strong delusion could God send to someone that would enable them to believe the lie? They've been deceived by these unrighteous deceptions because they did not receive the love of the truth. But God sends them a strong delusion. Well, what would that look like? What do you think he's talking about? What kind of strong delusion?
That the person is okay.
Right. A false sense of security.
Yes.
A complete loss of alarm. Like the wonderful little Spanish class that I was a very part of when I came here. I can't tell you how many times I would hear about these children who are not serving the Lord, not in church, not reading their Bible, haven't really had any evidence of Christ in their life. But the ladies were happy that at least they knew the Lord. That's the kind of strong deception and strong delusion that, you know, that someone can have no evidence of loving Christ and serving Christ, and they think they're going to heaven because they can quote some Bible facts. And they don't feel any condemnation. They don't feel guilt. Even if you question them, they have a strong delusion. They know what they believe, and they're solid about that. And but God has been I believe for these people that God has been seeking to convict. You know, God doesn't delight in the destruction of anyone. He would that all men repent and to be saved. But if you continually refuse the conviction that God seeks to bring to you, basically, what is he going to do? He's going to give you over to your own mind, to your own belief system, to your own self-deception. And he's basically, that's what's going to lead to is you're going to be condemned because you did not believe the truth, but you took pleasure in, there's that word again, unrighteousness. What are we to seek, Christian? Do you realize how serious this is? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his
righteousness.
I mean, God loves righteousness, and it is the first thing that we are to seek with his kingdom. And we need to love righteousness, and we need to receive the love of the truth and not take any pleasure in unrighteousness, because taking pleasure is in unrighteousness may be a sign that God has already given a person over to their own mindset. They're not even bothered by church or the Bible or anyone else. They're just self-deceived and comfortable in that deception. Paul goes on in 2 Timothy 2. Most of you will have heard this verse before, that the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. Because the Lord knows who are his. That statement is what Moses made to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram when they rose up in rebellion in the wilderness. That's what the Lord said to them. The Lord knows who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from unrighteousness. So brothers and sisters, you know, among us, let's make sure something. If you name the name of Christ, don't have any fellowship, don't have anything to do with unrighteousness. And we need to be careful, because part of the unrighteousness that's in our society is being streamed in our home through the TV. You just need to be careful, because I can guarantee you most of what Hollywood is doing and most of what the major networks are doing is they're not pumping righteousness to you. Amen. Most of what they're doing is under the guidance and dominion of the God of this world, and they were tools to promote unrighteousness rather than the righteousness of God.
Pastor.
Yes, sir.
I think the way you're describing these people that are actually in the church, many of them,
mm-hmm.
I think of the scripture that says having a form of godliness,
that's right,
but denying the power of
right.
His righteousness.
That's right.
To work in their
life. Right. And because if you're denying the power of godliness, we know that God provides the power of godliness to enable us to walk in righteousness. And Brother Gary's right. From such people, we're told to turn away. If they only have a form of godliness, but they're really denying the power thereof, they're like tares in the midst of the wheat. We may have to live with them, but be careful that you're not affected by them, because bad company corrupts good character. So let's look at what our Lord prayed. And now I want to kind of make sure we don't lose track of something. The danger in the last day is the deception that Satan is trying to continually work through the world. And there are antichrists, many antichrist in the world. And what are they doing? They're altering the message. They're changing the word. They're seeking to introduce destructive heresies and deceptions. And they will use the name of Jesus. And they'll use concepts of Christianity. But it will not be what you heard in the beginning. It will not be the word of truth from the apostles. You know, can I just encourage you? If you do not compare what you're hearing from me or anyone else with what Jesus taught, what Peter taught, what Paul taught, what John taught, what James taught, what's in the scriptures, if you're not comparing it, you're leaving yourself vulnerable to just receiving what may sound good, what may feel right to you. Yeah, Curtis?
You know, the thing about it is it's not about religion. It's about a relationship mm-hmm. with Christ.
It is.
And you don't have a relationship with Christ if you don't have your prayer time and your Bible study.
That's true.
You know, that'd be like a husband and wife. They may be married, but there ain't much to their marriage if they don't communicate.
Okay. Let's look back. Let me go back up one scripture. Let's go to here. I don't want to lose this thought. Since the danger is deception, look at how our Lord prays for the protection of his disciples. What is our protection from deception? Let's listen carefully. I do not pray, the Lord Jesus is praying this in John 17, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. You realize that's how we are protected from the evil one. We are set apart by the truth. It is the truth of God that sets us apart from the deception that is rampant in the world.
Yes.
So the way that we are protected from the evil one is the truth of God setting us apart. And Jesus said, and your word is true. So he's praying to the Father, set them apart, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And that is our protection. Because the devil has no truth in him. That's what Jesus said here in John chapter 8 to the Jewish leaders, by the way. These were the Jewish people, the people of God, the Pharisees and Sadducees, members of the Sanhedrin. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And believe me, Satan is a great talker. His lie, he can lie so good it sounds pretty close to the truth. Yeah. And you had better pay very close attention, you know, because the easiest way to deceive a believer is to just twist it a little bit. Leave a little out or add just a little in. You remember how serious God takes that in the book of Revelation? If anyone adds anything to this book or takes away. Satan will try it either way. Just add a little or take away a little. And we're going to be without excuse. We've been left the record. We have the Holy Spirit, the anointing, who is truth and is no lie. And that Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth so that we don't, technically, as the scripture says, we don't even need a man to teach us. The anointing will teach us. The Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us into all truth so that you can't even blame me. Well, Pastor Allen didn't teach me that. Or Pastor Joe or Pastor Jim or Pastor Bob didn't teach me that. Well, the question is, did you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you? Let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Because the Spirit will speak the truth. Now, not the evil one. There's no truth in the evil one. When he speaks from his own resources. He's a liar and the father of it. So do you see what God's provision for us is to protect us from the devil? It's the truth. The truth is God's provision to protect us from the devil. And the truth is the language of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Jesus said. So let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Only the Holy Spirit always speaks the truth. He never speaks anything but the truth. And Jesus said this in John chapter 16. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So the Spirit of truth is to guide, will guide us into all truth. And you see, he will never speak on his own. I want to live in that way. I want to teach in that way. I want to speak in that way. But do you realize for that to happen, I need to be filled with the Spirit continually. I need to be walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And you know, it's quite easy for any of us, for Rudy, for me, for Ken, for probably Brother Gary back there, for any of us who've been teaching, it's easy for us to kind of fall back on our studies. We can put scriptures together, can't we? We can quote the Bible. We can put logical thoughts together. That does not mean we are speaking under the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit. There's many, many ministers who started off well and kind of got this teaching thing down, and they were good at it. People liked to listen to them. And slowly their dependency went from receiving from the Lord and being led by the Lord to just, you know, saying things that were popular and that moved people. And their lives did not end up where they had begun. They end up in deep trouble, and some of them even shipwrecked their faith. So have you seen that there's two spirits in the world? Have you seen that? There's two spirits in the world. There is the spirit of the Antichrist. And do you realize what Antichrist is a symbol for? Just against Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is the power of God. Jesus Christ is the life of God. In Jesus Christ is every grace. Every promise that God has made is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. So the spirit of Antichrist is just a general spirit to keep Christ from being preeminent. Keep people from discovering the salvation of God in Jesus Christ. To prevent the world from genuinely coming to know Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Antichrist, just to oppose the knowledge of Christ coming in the earth. And the other spirit we that's precious to us is the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, the anointing that we have received from God. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about the danger of the spirit of Antichrist and the deception. But there were also false prophets among the people. He's referring to the Old Testament. There were false prophets in the Old Testament. And just so that you know, if I were to ask you, or maybe I just want to find out if we had this understanding. Do we know in general what the common denominator and the primary mark of a false prophet was? Can you summarize their message? The Old Testament summarizes it in this way. They heal the wound of my people superficially. Their message brings a superficial comfort. They make everyone feel better about how rotten their lives are without bringing about any change. And they do this by saying, peace, peace. God loves you just the way you are. He's okay with your rotten mouth. I mean, you're not being judged by how you talk. You're not being judged by what you do. Yeah, I know you beat your wife. I mean, now and then, it doesn't happen every day, only when you get mad, you know. But she's really messed up. I mean, I know that's an exaggeration, okay? That's an extreme. But what I'm really genuinely saying is, they make people feel comfortable in their sin. They say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Because peace is supposed to be the fruit of righteousness. Yes, Marie.
Would they also use, like come in God's name?
People often misunderstand something. Jesus said to his disciples, when his own disciples asked him about the last days, the first thing he was speaking to the 12. He had just come out of the temple, and they had pointed out all the beautiful buildings and the works of the temple. And Jesus said, listen, I tell you, not one of these stones is going to be left upon another. And they asked him, when will this be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? The first thing he told them is, see to it that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. Now, people are looking for people out there who claiming that they're Jesus Christ. That's not what he said. There's all kind of false teachers that will say Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. They don't deny that Jesus Christ was God's Son. They just changed the message. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves homosexuals, accepts you just the way you are. They're not saying that Jesus isn't the Christ. They're changing the basic message of the truth. So beware. Yes, they will come in his name. There are many people out there who believe in Jesus Christ. They'll put Jesus Christ on their church. They call themselves a Christian church. But if they're changing the message, they're false. They're false prophets. Just because you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God does not mean you are an actual child of God.
So Brother,
yes, sir.
A while ago, you said that men beat their wives, and that makes the woman always the victim. But there are women who also beat their husband.
Sure.
Brother.
It was just an extreme statement, probably not even a wise extreme statement. There are, you know, the key for us here is any willful, continual sin that if you're doing while you're claiming to be a child of God. That's a more serious, whatever form it is, because that's really what that's what's pertinent to us. We call ourselves by His name. We should depart from all unrighteousness. There should be no unrighteousness in our life. And what false prophets do is they make people feel good without leading them to repentance. I do believe God is patient. God is long-suffering. And God doesn't want to just come down and bring the hammer down on everybody. But God's mercy and kindness is to lead men to repentance. Not to just leave them in the state that they're in and make them feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
And that's the danger, because false prophets leave people unchanged but feeling much better. And that's the danger we need to be aware of. So there will be, he said, even though there were false prophets among the people, there will be false teachers among you. That's talking to the church. There's going to be false teachers in the church who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Heresies is another word for choices. They bring in destructive choices, even denying the Lord who bought them. Now, how would you deny the Lord? How would you deny the Lord who bought them? How would you... Paul made it clear in Titus, in works they deny him. They will claim it's not based upon what I do. I don't have to do anything. It's just free. It's all free. It's all about Christ. It's not about me. And therefore it doesn't really matter how I live. You know what that's doing? That's denying glory and honor to Jesus Christ.
That's it.
Our lives should bring him glory and honor. And when you claim to be his child and you're living in an unrighteous and a sinful way, you're denying him of the holiness and the righteousness and the godliness he deserves in your testimony. And we need to be careful about that. They deny the Lord who bought them, and they bring on themselves swift destruction. But there's something even worse that happens. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. When people begin to live this way by these destructive choices, and they're denying the Lord the holiness and righteousness in our character and our conduct, it causes the way of the truth to be spoken against, doesn't it? Look at the shame the church world really is in the eyes of the world.
Yes.
I mean, our ministers fallen, families, the divorce rate in the church is just as high as it is in the world. There's problems galore. We, as the people of God, are supposed to be different. We're supposed to have the anointing of God living in us. Now, I'm not claiming that we have to be absolutely perfect in this world. But if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things are becoming new. And shouldn't the people in our lives be able to see that difference?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that a clear distinction? You are not the same as you were. That. If we're living that way, we're not the truth. The way of the truth is not being blasphemed. The way of the truth is being blasphemed by people who claim one thing and live no different than the world. That causes the way of the truth to be spoken against. And we want to be careful. We don't want to have anything to do with that. John 8. So Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, and this is a key for our learning to hear the Holy Spirit. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you know most people just quote the second part of that scripture? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But you'll never come to really know the truth unless you're continuing in the word. Only by walking and abiding in the word of Christ do you really become a disciple. And as you genuinely become a disciple, it's like that Proverbs chapter 4. that the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter into the full light of day. And as we are growing in the Lord and coming to know Him more, we begin to know the truth in a dynamic way. And it's then knowing that truth shall make you free. Have you ever wondered, free from what? What will the truth make you free from? All the deception that is in the world. The spirit of the Antichrist. The unrighteousness that is in the world. Because everyone who sins is a slave of sin. And if you're living by the truth and you're knowing the truth, you will follow the Holy Spirit. And Paul said that if we walk by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so living by the truth, knowing the truth, being led by the Spirit of truth, listening to the Holy Spirit, who is that anointing from God in us, who will guide us into all truth, that will keep us free from becoming entangled in the world and being deceived by the enemy and the spirit of the Antichrist that is out there. So to know the truth, we must continue in His Word. So can you see what the strategy of the Antichrist would be? To draw us away from His Word. Now, this is what's incredible for us. Look at the opportunities that we have. We live in a country where every one of us here can own a Bible. Is there any person here who doesn't own a Bible? Okay, there's no one. So you have the Scripture. And if you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. And if you're here in living here in this culture, most of you have quite a bit of time. Okay? So if you have a lot of time and you have the Scripture and you have the Spirit, how can you not be continuing in His Word? There's no excuse. There is one primary reason where most people are not in the Word of God. They are neglecting. It's neglect. I've heard people convince themselves that they lack time. But I don't know too many men who work 18 hours a day and just come home and sleep and there's nothing else, that you can't spend some time in the Scripture. Most men work, even if it's a long day, you know, 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week. There is time. You know what our need is? We need to learn to redeem the time and make good use of the time and be in the Word a good portion of that time. Yeah, Rudy.
The person who doesn't read the Bible is because that person's heart is not in the Bible.
Yeah. You know, in what Rudy is saying has real validity. Jesus said, wherever a man's treasure is, that's where his heart will be. And let me make something clear here. I don't want anyone to leave here and just all you do is you feel guilty because you're not in the Scripture. But can I? I'd rather it be like a doctor visit. If you come to the doctor and he asks, how's your appetite, and how's you doing, and he checks your weight, he checks your blood pressure, and all these things, if one of the indications that the doctor is concerned about is there's no love for the Scripture, you're not spending any time in the Scripture, would it be okay for me to just at least ask you this? Is something wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I would at least like you to recognize something's wrong. You need something renewed. Because really, the Scriptures of God are His treasure. They're wisdom and counsel and guidance and life and joy. And you should love them. And if you don't, something has already happened.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything here. The person who doesn't read the Bible should leave tonight feeling guilty.
Well,
but, oh, really?
Sure, but guilt is not enough. You should leave aware. And here's what I would have you take with you. Ask the Lord to renew a passion for the Word. Ask Him to revive in you the desire that's healthy. Because when a baby is born, God has birthed in them an instinct. And what is that instinct? Right away. I mean, within minutes of being born, what are they looking to do? They're looking to nurse. They're looking to feed. And if you have lost that desire to feed upon the Word of God, then recognize that you need healing. You need strengthening. You need to be revealed. You need to be renewed. And have us pray for you. And just go to God. Remember what happened to David? David had a terrible fall, you know, when he fell into the sin with Bathsheba. But coming out of that fall, remember his prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And David is the one who loved the Word of God, who craved the Word of God, who meditated on the Word of God. And that's the right spirit. And when we are walking in the right way, the Holy Spirit in us and abiding in Christ, our time in the Word should be sweet. It shouldn't be forced. Now, you might need a push start. Rudy will be very glad to push start anybody here. You know, he wants you, in a sense, he is willing for you to feel bad than to walk away and feel numb.
Yes.
I mean, that's a compassion, because he's aware of the danger we are in if we have no desire there. I agree with him in that part, but I just don't want to leave you condemned or guilty. I would rather point you to renewal is possible. Restoration is possible. Regaining that hunger and thirst is possible. And that's what I believe God would have you be.
Well, that to be guilt kept is dead. Redeemable. Just read the Bible.
Yes, yes. But it's easier to read it when you crave it. You know what I mean? No one has to tell any of you when to turn on your favorite TV program, do they?
No.
Can you imagine me doing that? You need to turn on the TV. No one does that. No one has to tell you to turn on the radio. No one has to tell most men to... No one has to tell you when your favorite magazine comes in the mail. You know, you naturally do the things you love. And for the believer, there should be a love of the Scripture. There should be a love of truth. So that's what we want to try to recover and get everybody there.
Pastor.
Yes, sir.
If what you're discussing with Rudy and everything I thought of, it goes back to your point about the seven churches.
Mm-hmm.
And he that hath an ear, is that the Lord will say, I love you, but however, I have this one thing about you. And that he will not do it with a spirit of condemnation, but the Holy Spirit will bring conviction.
He's willing. Even that last church, Laodicea, that he was locked out, here he's knocking, trying to get back in. And so, and that's part of, I'm glad you brought that up, Brother Gary, because, you know, that's part of how the Lord does come. The very scripture we're talking about, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. You know what the Spirit's saying to us tonight? The Spirit is saying, you should be loving my word. You should seek renewal. Seek the joy of the Lord. Let the Scriptures become your counselor again. You talk about excellent counsel. They counsel your speech. They counsel your thought life. They counsel your relationships. They counsel your decision making. They in so many ways. It's like having a wealth, your own spiritual library there. Regain that. Recover that. Ask the Holy Spirit to renew that, and it'll be possible. So,
I just wanted to touch on what Rudy was saying. I don't think it's a guilt. I think it's a, how do I put it? It's a religious conviction, which, in other words, we're convicted by the Holy Spirit to turn, to know that that's what we need.
Right.
Yes.
And let's make something very clear when we talk about reading the Scriptures. What I'm doing when I'm reading the scriptures is I'm searching for the mind of God.
There you go.
God has breathed into the scriptures. They are the breath of God. And you see His wisdom in interacting with people in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. You see His patience. You see what He doesn't like. You see what He does like. You see what He'll do if you get stubborn. You'll see how He blesses those who are broken and contrite. You see how you get to know your Heavenly Father. And you get so many opportunities for the Holy Spirit to open the Scripture to you. You know, sometimes God is so near to me. And you know how I know? I'm just reading the Scriptures. And it's not the words on the page. It's suddenly He opens the Scriptures to you. And suddenly you see their understanding. And this Scripture matches another Scripture.
Yes.
And they come together. Yes. And you see what God was doing. And you know you've been in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
You know He's been there teaching you and guiding you. It's so sweet. And when you are experiencing that sweetness, that is so different from, well, I know it's been like I've been reading 5 minutes. I hadn't gotten a thing out of it yet, you know.
It's all right.
You know it. No, I'm not talking about time for now. I'm just saying I don't want you to go through a dry, you know, ritual. I don't want you to go through, you're just trying to do it.
Yeah.
Seek to experience the breath and wisdom and mercy and kindness of God in that communion. You know, there's God's blessing is in His Word, and He will open it to us. And the Spirit of truth, the love of the truth, is our protection from the devil spirit, the Antichrist. And I think one of the things we're probably not aware of is you would think when you talk about Antichrist and the devil spirit that you're not talking about religion. But probably the most effective deception are the religious deceptions.
Yes.
The deceptions that cause people to think they're doing okay.
Yep.
That cause people to think they love God. To cause people to think they're going to heaven. Those are the deceptions of the worst. I mean, we're not talking for us, you know, sneaking around to the bars and shooting heroin and those obvious things. But still, let's be careful. Let's just make sure the enemy strategy for us was to get us off track little by little. Just little by little, because if he came at it too hard, we'd be aware of what he's doing. So it's just subtle influences trying to get us comfortable with these changes. You know, how many of you will be honest? Do you feel pressure when the world talks about we should just love everybody? You Christians should be like Jesus. You should just accept everybody. What do you mean having opinions about how people live their lifestyle? If two people love each other, what's wrong with that? Who are you to judge? Aren't you supposed to be like Jesus? Do you ever feel that pressure? It's out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure in the world. What about family members? Because suddenly we're not so immune. Back in the day where people lived in the closet, they coming out of the closet. You know, you got your grandson or your granddaughter, and now suddenly they bring your grandson brings his friend. And you figure out this is more than just a friend. You know? And then you think, well, this is just terrible. But they go to church together. I'm telling you, this is real. This is happening out there. That's just an example of something you're aware of.
I'd have questions about the church.
Well, you know, it's these subtle changes happen. And we just need to be careful. Our spirit needs to be careful. We need to find that guidance of the Holy Spirit to how to be loving, not condemning, you know, not mean, not rude, not ugly, but truthful. We need to learn how to speak the truth in love and not get drawn away into just making everybody feel good. That there's a very subtle pressure in that. You know, pastors are under that kind of pressure. And if you don't realize it, you know, there's that which is in me that really wants to exhort you, you know, pursue the Lord. Pursue Him with all your heart. and don't be comfortable. And yet I don't want to overwhelm you by making you feel like you never measure up. It's like a good coach, you know, give your all. Come on, you can do more, you can do more, you can do more. But I also want you to do that joyfully. I want you to rejoice in the Lord and then enjoy this process. Enjoy the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So there is sometimes pressure on pastors to just make everyone feel good. Let's have some good jokes in the pulpit and have a good laugh and a few good cry stories and we'll go home. And that was a wonderful day in church, wasn't it? We had a great time. And I don't want to make fun of that. Those things are appropriate. But our protection against the strategies of the enemy is the truth. It's loving the truth, okay? That's why. This is good, like Paul says to Timothy, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, I mean, this is in the heart of God. It's for both. So hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit will only be possible if you want to hear his voice, and you want to hear what he says, you must cultivate a deep love for the truth. Because that's how you're going to recognize the Holy Spirit's voice. He will never lie. Never. The Holy Spirit will never lie. He will always bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he reveals to you will line up with the Word of God, which is truth. And by cultivating a deep love for truth, you'll protect yourself from being led astray by things that sound close, but they're off. They're just not quite there. Okay? All right. That's it for this evening.